You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
This is good. Hey, Merry Christmas, everyone. So glad you're here. My name is Robbie Simons, one of the pastors here. I'm so thrilled that we get to be together right now, taking my chance to say Merry Christmas again to each of you. I want you to know, too, we've been praying very hard as a church that you would have a supernatural Christmas. Truly, we really, really mean that. And that would mean then the best Christmas ever. Personally, I find it so powerful to purposely move towards the truth of Christmas. To really, with purpose, again, try to move towards the very true meaning of Christmas. You gotta be intentional to do this, and it takes diligence because there's a lot fighting against it. But it's very powerful to move past the crowds, to move past the traffic, to move past the lines at the grocery store or wherever else, to move past the rush, to try to move past the noise. In some cases, to move past the food, which is good, it's good, but to move past that because it's not the best, to move past Mariah Carey Christmas, no further comments, to move past Happy Holidays, to move past Secret Santa, and even to move past family. Some of you are like, whoa, Robbie, why would you say that? Because it's the truth of Christmas that transforms my family. My family cannot transform me. It's the truth of Christmas that transforms them and me. And let's be honest, too, like we're here right now. Like, let's be honest, life is tough. Like in this room right now, those who are here in this building listening, there's a lot of hurt in this world. There's a lot of pain. And there's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of sickness all around us all the time. In fact, it's often overwhelming how hard this life can be. But it's the truth of Christmas that shines a laser beam of light into our sadness, into our loneliness, into our brokenness, into our pain, into our anger. It's the truth of Christmas that brings such powerful, again, truth of hope and love and peace and joy. So this is the gift that we seek to unwrap today. And I think we have a moment right now just to honestly to take just a few moments to be still. It's hard to be still in this life. We're constantly bombarded with all the entertainment and all the voices and all the rush. And you know it. I know it. You know it. But to take a few moments here right now, we're here, we might as well, and to take a deep spiritual breath. And to what? And to listen for the voice of God. To not rush, but to listen for the voice of God. When we do that, our lives could be changed. You say, well, how do we do that? We do that today through one of the most famous verses in the Bible. I want to unpack for us in just a couple of moments, John 3:16. Many of you will not know John 3:16. It's amazing to me, this verse still shows up in end zones of football games. Here's a picture for you on the screen there. I mean, one of the biggest football games like ever in the last couple years. And there, look at that. Front and center, John 3:16. That's awesome. Why is that verse there? How did it get there? And why does it keep reappearing? Well, it shows up in football games, and my prayers, it shows up in our hearts right now. I just want to take a moment to pray for that. Father, I do ask that you will use this time right now in a very powerful way among every heart that is here. Father, I beg you, we love you, we need you. You are so real, you are so near, you are so good, you are so love. And so I pray, Lord, that you will be filling us and transforming us with the truth that we're going to hear right now. May it be so, Lord. I do pray for best Christmas ever. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3:16, you should know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This one verse is the truth of Christmas. This is the truth of Christmas. In fact, there are five truths of Christmas in this one verse. Let's get started. Truth number one of John 3:16, the purpose of Christmas is love. The purpose of Christmas is love. The text says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. So listen, at the very heart of Christmas, you got to hear this, at the very heart of Christmas is the world-changing love of God. This is the purpose of Christmas, or you could say this is the motivation of Christmas. The initiation of Christmas was motivated by the world-changing love of God Almighty. So notice right away, for God so loved the world. So we learn right now, our God is not a distant God. Our God is not a harsh dictator waving his finger in disappointment. Instead, our God, proven here, he sees the sin of this world. He sees people in confusion. He sees a helpless people. He sees people who are lost. And what's his response? It's love. It's love. He loves a people who are lost, confused, and broken. His love pursues even today. Even as most people in our world reject him, scorn him, many mock him, he pursues with life-changing love. So Christmas is many things, accurately stated. Christmas is many things. At the very core of Christmas, though, is love. Christmas, understand this, is a mission of love. This is God's heart. At the heart of Christmas is a mission of love. But not a fluffy, superficial, conditional love. Not a love that we're so used to in our lives. A love that says, well, I love you as long as you love me kind of love. No, not that kind of love. Rather, it's a God-sized, world-changing, unparalleled, mind-blowing, sacrificial love. It's a, the world will never be the same again love. Proven, by the way, by history. When Jesus Christ came, the world has never been the same again. That's indisputable just on historical fact alone. The world was forever changed by the mission of love. Because this was God's heart to reach this world, again, lost in sin. The purpose of Christmas is love. Fascinating to me. All of us long to be loved. All of us long to be loved. And so many are looking for love in the wrong places. Desperately seeking approval. Desperately wanting to be accepted and to be loved. So many people are scrolling social media feeds, desperately searching for love by likes and comments, which is so shallow and will never, ever last. So many desperately wanting again to be loved where they are. If only we could clear the crowds and clear social media for a second and see the Christ child in the manger. If we could truly have eyes to see, we would see an infinite, unchanging love. You got to know this too. This entire service today is an expression of God's love. Every song, every prayer, this message is God's love pursuing you. It's God's love pursuing us. Like, that's the heart of what this is about. This whole thing is God's love reaching down again to a people that need him so much. The purpose of Christmas is love. Well, what does this love look like? Truth number two, the person of Christmas is Jesus. The purpose of Christmas is love. The person of Christmas is Jesus. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. This is the person of Christmas. This is the astounding reality of Christmas. So the mission of God's love required that his son to be sent. There is no Christmas without Christ, but our world is desperately trying so hard to take Christ out of Christmas. But that's like trying to take the sun out of sunrise. It doesn't work. We all know that Jesus Christ is the most influential person who has ever lived. By far, second place isn't close. Why? Because God so loved the world, he gave his only son. When he sends his son, when the son of God comes to the earth, the world will never be the same again. Jesus is the person of Christmas. This is why the angel said to Mary, he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. This is why Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The gift is the son. This is why the angels again said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There is no Christmas without Christ. He is the person that is sent by God to save us. Listen. And the only one who can ultimately satisfy us. Every person longs for true satisfaction. But listen, every other person in our lives is unable to fulfill us or satisfy us. No other human being can save us, my goodness, or satisfy us. Not friends, not siblings, not boyfriends, give me a break, not spouses, not leaders. They are all incapable of fulfillment. They cannot fulfill us because they are not perfect. They will always ultimately let us down. Young people, when they get married, sometimes they are naive enough to think their spouse will be the answer to all their problems. Oh my goodness, right? And then anyone who's been married longer than a day understands they have not married perfection. They have not married perfection, right? Listen. A spouse was never designed to be your savior. A spouse is not to be worshipped. They can't. They will let you down. They will let you down every single time. They are designed to be a compliment and a blessing, not a savior. No one in this world can be your savior other than one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. God has sent his son to be the savior because he's the only one who is perfect. Only Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Only Jesus Christ dispenses living water. No one else can do that for us. That's why the person of Christmas is Jesus. Truth number three, the potential now of Christmas is faith. Look at John 3:16 again on the screen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, notice, that whoever believes. Okay, so this is massively important, obviously. Whoever believes in him. Believing here, listen, is not knowing about God. There are so many people in that category still across this world. Well, yeah, sure, I believe in a God, or I believe some kind of thing of God, or I believe that there is, you know, I believe in something, or I know intellectual facts. That's not the belief we're talking about here in John 3:16. It's not knowing about God. Biblical true belief is actually knowing God, personally in relationship with God. Like interacting with him and loving him, and he has changed you and brought life to you. You know him, you love him, you sense him, you speak to him. You know his love and his care. This is what true belief does. Let's just break this down. Whoever believes in him. What does this mean? It means you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that he lived a sinless life you and I could never live. You believe he died on the cross for your sin specifically, to pay the price that you and I could never pay. You believe he rose from the dead, and as he did that, he defeated death. But here's what's so important about what I just said. Intellectual belief can say, yeah, I believe that. I believe that, but actual life-changing belief, what's the difference? It's when someone believes that, their entire life is changed. They surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus takes over their life. There's a vast difference of intellectual agreement and an actual heart transformation faith that this is what the Bible is speaking of. One of my favorite, again, stories of Christmas time is Simeon. When he's in the temple, he sees the Christ child. He was told he would not die before he saw Messiah. He goes, the Holy Spirit leads him. He picks up the Christ child. He holds the Christ child in his arms, and he says, now I can depart in peace. Now I can die. My life is fulfilled because my eyes have seen your salvation. You know what he's saying right there? He's like, this child is my purpose. This child is my will. This child affects my words. This child affects my emotions. This child is the essence of my being. This child represents my entire future. I give my whole life to the purpose and glory of this child. That is true faith. That's what biblical faith does. We say a lot around here too, when you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you used to be driving your car. But when you love Jesus Christ, you're no longer driving. You get out of the driver's seat. You give it to, you hand him the keys and the wheel. And you'll say, Jesus, I'll go in the passenger seat. I'll go in the back seat. I'll go in the trunk if you want me to. You're in control now, not me. That's what true faith results in. And listen, this is what's so important, right? Because it's amazing to me the things that people believe. It's amazing to me. And listen, well, how do we know what we believe? We prove what we believe by what we live for. I'll say that again. We prove what we believe in by what we live for. So can we give some examples? Sure, well, we're talking about faith right now, so let's have a bunch of things that start with the letter F then, okay? I got a bunch I wrote down here. People believe in all sorts of things. People believe in things like fashion. You're like, really, Robbie? Yeah. Appearance is so important to some people. This is what drives their identity. This is what gives them value. This is what they think derives their meaning. How they look determines who they are in life. They are living for what they believe in. How about finances? Finances, money is one of the biggest idols our world faces. So many people believe if I have money, then I have security. If I have money, then I'm in a good place. If I have money, then I'm able to live the way I want to. They worship money. They believe in money so much, this is what they live for. But of course, in the end, that'll never work. But so many people believe in finances. So many people believe in fame. Another word starts with F, fame or celebrity. Closely tied to fame could be things like Facebook. We orient our lives in a way that I believe if I'm important, if I'm deemed important, if I get acceptance, if people acknowledge me, if I can grow in stature, this is what I live for. This is what gives me value. We prove what we believe by what we live for. I wrote another F down. I wrote Ferrari. You're like, yeah, right, Ferrari. Okay, fast cars then, fast cars. Let's say fast cars then, okay? Again, how many people live for their possessions? I speak the truth. They live for their possessions. If I can just get, if I can just have, if I can just drive. I mean, there's some men in the room right now. Your car is of greater worship than people in your life. I hate to speak the truth sometimes. You know what I mean? But this is how we live. This is what goes on. Ferraris, fast cars. I wrote down fitness. Fitness. Closely tied to fitness is physique, phonetic F. Fitness, there's a huge portion of our world believes if I can achieve a certain level of fitness, if I can make myself look a certain way physically, if I can do this, do that, orient my whole life, I believe in this so much, this is what I live for. This is what I'm worshiping. Huge, huge, huge thing in our day today. And the last word I wrote down starts with F is family. Family. I love my family so much. I have 4 kids. I have a beautiful wife. I love them so much. But I have to live for more than them because my family can't save me and my family can't ultimately fulfill me. In the end, all these things I listed, when it comes down to it, they are false because none of these things can save us and none of these things can ultimately fulfill us. Jim Carrey, quote on the screen for you. Jim Carrey said this, he says, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer. I take those things seriously. When I see that, I'm like, okay, there's the guy who's lived the dream, man. And he's telling you it doesn't work. Michael Phelps, after 2012, and he set like records of gold medal hauls more than anyone else ever in his sport or even period. He said this, again, he reached an ultimate low. He said, I didn't want to be in the sport anymore. I didn't want to be alive and seriously considered taking his life. I'm like, wait, Michael, you were the best in the world at what you did. No one in the planet was better than you. You could say ever in the history of the world. That is supposed to be the recipe for joy. Our world says that is happiness, that is success, that is fulfillment. Come on, bro, what's up? How could that be possible? You achieved number one in the planet and you said you wanted to die because you could have 100 gold medals or 500. It will never ultimately satisfy you because they cannot. It cannot save you. It cannot ultimately fulfill you. Here's the potential of Christmas. The potential of Christmas is one who came to save and to satisfy. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the answer to life. He is the answer to purpose. And yes, he is the answer to death itself. Truth number 4, the plan of Christmas is rescue. The plan of Christmas is rescue. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, listen, should not perish. So look at that. Just look at that verse for a second. Stare at it. Should not perish. So what do we learn? Christmas is a search and rescue mission. It's a search and rescue. Here's the plan of Christmas in one verse. Luke 19, verse 10 on the screen for you. Jesus said this. For the Son of Man came, okay, purpose, to seek and save the lost. That's why he came. To search out, to love, and save the lost. But one of the questions you should ask, okay, why was that necessary? Why did Jesus have to come and seek and save the lost? Tim Keller, a wonderful pastor, he passed away about 3 years ago. He explains this, that God created, Genesis 1 and 2, God created the ideal world. But then entered sin. And when sin entered, the world became the real world. So we live now in the real world. And in the real world, sin produced death. That's the world we live in right now. We all know it. What all of us must admit, in the real world, then 2 things happen. In the real world that all of us live in every day, 2 things happen. Number 1, everybody loses the ones they love. In the end, everybody loses the ones they love. That's just life. We all lose the ones we love eventually. And number 2, all of life ends in death. I'm not saying anything new to you. It's amazing how we try to deny these things sometimes. I speak truth to you, though. We lose everyone we love eventually, and all of life ends in death. This is the real world. Here's the plan of God then. Jesus is the ideal. Jesus is perfection. Jesus is forgiveness of sins. Jesus is life over death. Jesus is victory. Jesus is salvation. Jesus is mercy. Jesus is grace. Jesus is the ideal. Jesus comes as the ideal into the real. That's Christmas. The ideal comes into the real world with a mission to rescue us from death. His plan was to save those on death row. That's the plan of God. Jesus placed himself on death row to save those, again, all of us who are on death row ourselves. Jesus willingly allowed himself, because he wasn't born to live and then just ascend to heaven. He was born to live, ultimately to die. He placed himself voluntarily on death row as the only one who could rescue us and save us from our sins. The power of the plan of Christmas, which is rescue. I want to ask you a question right now, in all seriousness. What's your plan after death? Like, I seriously, it's amazing how people don't want to go here. But we're foolish not to ask this question, because we all face it. What's your plan after death? And now there are various answers, right? Because I appreciate asking people this, because I really want to know what they believe. I genuinely want to know. Many answers. Some people say nothing. My plan is nothing. I will cease to exist. Consciousness ceases. That's it. I just my body erodes. I rot. Whatever it is, I'm done. I cease to exist. Others say, well, I think I'm a good enough person, and God will judge me, you know, good and bad, other people, and I think I'm going to take my chances in the end before God. Others say, I'm in denial of death itself. I'm just living in denial of death. Others say, I'm terrified of death. Stop asking me about it. And some of you might be in that place even right now. I'm terrified of death. That's our world. I'm terrified of death. Stop talking to me about it. I don't think any of those plans are really good. How about this plan? How about the plan that to die is to actually begin to live? How about the plan that death is actually the entranceway to everlasting life? Say, what's your plan, Robbie? My plan is eternal life with Jesus Christ. You say, how? Christmas. It's why he came. He came to rescue and save for those who believe they would not perish. That's a plan of everlasting life. This is a plan that you're not afraid of death. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. And we just sang even here today. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. You see, like, mild, he leaves the heavens in glory. He becomes one of us. Mild he laid his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give us second birth. See, that is the plan of God, that he comes to rescue and save. It's just awesome. The plan, you got to have a plan for death. And Jesus Christ is the only one who gives the plan of everlasting life. This is the power, the plan of Christmas. Truth number five, the promise of Christmas, eternal life. The promise of Christmas, eternal life. So on the screen now, the whole verse, okay? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have again eternal life. So we have the purpose of Christmas love, the person of Christmas Jesus, the potential of Christmas faith, the plan of Christmas rescue, and all of that, friends, is leading to what? Is leading to eternal life. All of this is leading to eternal life. This is the love of God. This is what he wants to see. He wants to see people live forever with him. And this is the promise that Jesus makes. If you turn from sin, if you believe in him, the promise is you will receive everlasting life, where one day soon he will return and you will see him face to face, and all sin is gone, all death is gone, all evil is gone, every tear wiped away, all hurt, all pain, all sorrow, it's all gone, and you will live in the presence of Jesus Christ forever and ever. This is the promise. This is what soon he will return to, and all those who belong to him, they will see him coming in glory, and they will say, everything I ever did for Jesus Christ and live for him is so worth it. John 10:10 on the screen for you, Jesus, he said this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil's trying to do in our world. He wants to steal hearts, kill hearts, and destroy hearts. He's very clever. Live for the world, live for money, live for self, live for stuff, live for hobbies, live for whatever, live for false teaching ideologies, live for whatever. Anything other than Jesus, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, though, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the promise of Christmas. John 11 on the screen for you. One more verse. Jesus says this. Jesus says, listen carefully, this could be for you right now. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me, listen, shall never die, Jesus says. What a promise. And I find it fascinating, he ends with, do you believe this? Because it's belief that results in eternal life with Jesus Christ forever. A number of years ago, a remarkable Christmas card was published by the title, If Christ Had Not Come. It was based on our Savior's own words, If I Had Not Come, in John 15. The card pictured a pastor falling asleep in his study on Christmas morning and then dreaming of a world into which Jesus had never come. In his dream, he saw himself walking through his house, but as he looked, he saw no stocking hung on the chimney, no Christmas tree, no wreaths of holly, and no Christ to comfort and gladden hearts or to save us. He then walked onto the street outside, but there was no church with a spire pointing towards heaven. When he came back and sat down in his library, he realized the very book of our Savior had disappeared. The pastor dreamed that the doorbell rang, that a messenger asked him to visit a friend's poor, dying mother. He reached her home, and as his friend sat and wept, he said, I have something here that will comfort you. He opened his Bible to look for a familiar promise, but it ended with Malachi. There was no New Testament. There was no gospel and no promise of hope and salvation. And all he could do was bow his head and weep with his friend and his mother in bitter despair. 2 days later, he stood beside her coffin and conducted her funeral service. But there was not a message of comfort, no words of a glorious resurrection, and no thought of a home awaiting her in heaven. There was only dust to dust and ashes to ashes and one long eternal farewell. Finally, he realized within his dream that Christ had not come, and he burst into tears, weeping bitterly in his sorrowful dream. Then suddenly he awoke with a start, and with a great shout of joy, praise burst from his lips as he heard his choir singing these words in his church nearby. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. When Jesus Christ came, the world has never been the same again. Because with Christ came love, came power, came peace, came life. With Jesus Christ comes the answer to why we exist. When we know the truth of Christmas, when we see the truth of Christmas, Jesus Christ, when we believe in the truth of Christmas, that will make this Christmas the best Christmas ever. Let's pray together. Father, we sought to spend a few moments just being still, and I pray that has happened. A few moments to be still and hear the truth of Christmas. I pray, Lord, that your truth is heard, and I pray, Lord, your truth has been believed in, because Jesus, as you said, it's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that sets us free. So may lives today be set free. Yes, Lord, may lives today be set free. Father, only you can give life. We can't do it. It has to be you. So we are praying that for so many today. This is the best Christmas ever for all the right reasons. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.